Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for how you are moving in our midst and our lives. Thank you for the way you're opening up our eyes to see. Thank you for the beauty of your truth. Reforming, changing, transforming us. Renewing our mind. That we might know you better. And we might know what you have done and who you have made us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. God, I want to encourage you that when you pray for someone and you see the presence and power of the Holy Spirit release them from sickness, when the pain goes, the problem goes, okay, encourage them with this. If they are born again, okay, if they're not born again, that's the time to give them a simple gospel and ask if they want to place their faith in the grace of what Jesus has done for them so that they may become born again. Okay? And most people will always, after receiving a miracle in their body, they'll say, yes, I want Jesus. I think I've only had one person ever say, no, you know, I don't want to. After a miracle happens in their body, they're very open. So that's the time, okay? Okay, Jesus went about doing good, Acts 10:37. 38. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. We need to go about doing good. And what is that good? Okay, it's a good thing to bring them a bowl of soup if they have a cold. But it's a better thing to bring them healing. It's a better thing to bring them freedom and liberty. It's better to bring them salvation. But what do you tell people after they've received a miracle? Here's what's going to happen. You just ripped off the devil. The enemy put something on that person's body and you just removed it. There were demons of sickness and disease on that person. And you just peeled them off. Okay. They're not happy. They're going to try to come back to that person to get them to believe a lie again. Here's what's going to happen. Suppose you had someone had a problem here, pain in their shoulder. You pray, the pain goes. That evil spirit that's been oppressing them has to leave. Okay, they know, I'm pain free. So they walk away. And the enemy, the devil, is a thief. He's a robber. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So what he's going to do is, he's going to come back to that person, put another pain right in there where they were healed. And then at the same time, he's going to put a thought into their head and say this to them, you see, you weren't really healed. So he's going to come back, put another pain where the pain was removed, and speak those words. You see, you weren't really healed. Now, you tell a person that's going to happen. But what do you do? You say, no, I'm not receiving that. I have been healed. Jesus Christ has fixed me. I'm not receiving that. So the enemy comes as a liar and puts a pain that's very real. When you say, no, I'm not receiving it, go in the name of Jesus. It will have to go. It will have to go. But if you say this, oh, I guess I didn't really get healed. Then you just allowed that demon to come back and put that sickness back on you again. The enemy, the devil, has no power unless he's been defeated. You have to agree with his lie. But if you don't agree, you can do nothing. So you want to encourage the person. Okay, when the pain comes back, if it comes back again, you have the name of Jesus. In his name, you command that you are not coming on me. You are not coming back on me in Jesus' name. So you want to encourage people with that. Because there's spiritual warfare going on and the devil's a liar. Amen? Amen? Okay, here's something else you'll see many times when you're praying. Suppose you're praying for someone and they have pain in their head. You pray. You command the pain to go. The pain goes out of their head into their shoulder. You pray for the pain in the shoulder. You command it to get out in Jesus' name. It moves to their back. So what? You pray for the pain in the back. The pain moves into the leg. Now listen. That's a spirit. That is a spirit of infirmity. And when you are praying, you're releasing anointing into that person's body. You are actually releasing the Spirit of God to go into their body. Okay, and as the power of God comes into that person's body, that spirit of infirmity wants to get away from that. So it moves to another part. And then it moves to another part. Now let me tell you. It will always have to go. And almost always we see these spirits of infirmities. They come out through the mouth, through the nose, through the ears, through the fingertips, through the toes. You can chase it all the way from the head down, and it'll pop right out the toes. Does that sound crazy? Don't be afraid. Don't ever fear. Okay? And you will also see sometimes you begin to pray for someone in pain. The pain will get way worse. You're praying for back pain. I command that pain to get out in Jesus' name. And all of a sudden they go, you say, what's happening? Oh, it's really bad. It's getting worse. Let me pray again. Command that pain to go. It's really bad. What is that? That is a spirit that is afraid of the anointing driving it out. And it wants to get you to get this person to get you to stop. So the person will say, just stop, it hurts so much. So you just say, don't worry. That's a demon that right now is increasing the pain because the demon wants to get me to stop praying. Do you want this gone? Yes! Then let me pray again because it will have to go. Amen? You're going to see that, okay? I have people say, well, I never see that. I say, well, how much do you pray? Well, what do you mean? How many people do you pray for? Huh? I tell people, you want to see more miracles? Yeah! I say, here's the answer. Pray for more people. You have to be praying for people. If you want to see these things, you've got to be praying for people. Most places we go, The people in the church, they take the sick people to the pastors. And we'll have pastors' conferences. And I'll ask this question very often. I say, how many of you pastors are weary? You are tired. You're weary from the work of the ministry. Hands everywhere. You know why? Because they're trying to do what the people should be doing. Ephesians chapter 4 says that the fivefold ministry, pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, apostles, they're given as a gift to the church. Why? To train and equip the people of the church to do the work of the ministry. It's not for pastors to do the work of the ministry. It's not for teachers. It's not for apostles. It's to train the people so the people can do the work of the ministry. It is so much fun. It's the greatest privilege ever to be able to see God do these things. Why do we want to be selfish? We want to train people. Go do it. We were in Kenya, and we were about halfway through the first session, and all the people got up and they all left. And I said to our host pastor, I'm only halfway through. I said, well, what are they doing? He said, they said, they got the message. They're going to go pray for people. Everybody left. So we waited a couple hours, and all these people came back. And I said, what's happening? They said they all want to give testimony. They went out, all these people got healed. They heard the word and they believed the word. So they went and did it. That's the way it's supposed to be. Do you know when it really makes sense to us? When it really clicks with us? As we begin to do it. We just came back from Kenya a few weeks ago. After the conference, we got into groups. We had many groups, 4, 5, 6 people, and we picked a little village out, and we said, let's go through the whole village, let's go house to house in all the village, and let's pray for people. These people, they're never going to come to a church, so we go to them. So I had 3, 4 teenagers with me. I got all young people, 4 teenagers. And they said, we listen to the messages and we believe, but we don't know if we can do this. I said, you can. It's going to be very easy. We went to the first house. There's always somebody sick. Every house is somebody sick. Some houses, everybody's sick. You're never going to run out of sick people. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. So we go, and I say, I'm going to pray. You watch me. Then the next house, you're going to pray. Okay, so we did. So we went to the next house. And there was, I don't know, 4 or 5 people had something wrong with them. And these young people, I said, you put your hand, you pray. And they're praying. In the name of Jesus, I command the sickness to come out. I said, now ask them, what's happening? They asked them, and the person said, I'm healed. I'm healed. And these teenagers are doing this. They're looking at their hand. They're looking at what just happened.
Listen,
blind eyes, deaf ears, crippled people who couldn't even walk. These teenagers are releasing the life of God, and they're all getting healed. The teenagers are praying for the second person. And now they're praying, "You devil, you get out of this body." Remember, they started like, "In the name of Jesus." They weren't too sure of themselves. But after they saw the first miracle through their hands, the next time it was, "You devil, get out of this body. Now, I said, right now, in the name of Jesus." And these teenagers watched one after another after another. So I get word that these teenagers now are going all around praying for sick people and getting people saved and into the kingdom. What made the big difference when they started to do it? When they not just believed it, but they put their belief into action. James says, faith without accompanying works is dead faith. That's faith without accompanying works of faith. We need to pray. We need to believe. We need to demonstrate. Everywhere we go, we need to do that. Hey? Praise God. Praise God. You need to be persistent when you pray. What's great faith? Y'all have been given the very same faith as God. You know that? When you got born again, you got His faith. You have enough faith. You have enough faith. But what is great faith? Great faith is persistent faith. It will not stop praying. It will not stop believing. I tell people, you know what? I had to establish my name in hell. There are demons that watch us. And they watch us when we pray. And if we'll pray for an issue and believe for an issue 3 weeks, and then we stop believing, stop praying because we haven't seen anything yet, then it gets written down. This one is good for 3 weeks. We don't have to leave because in 3 weeks he'll give up. So I had to establish in hell that I'm one that's not going to give up. It says in Ephesians that we need to stand on the finished work of Jesus, and after we've stood, we stand more. And after we've stood, we stand more because we're guaranteed the victory. Do you know that? Jesus already won it for us. You know, Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, "Fight the good fight, Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith, Timothy." What's a good fight? A good fight is one that you win. So every time we enter into the fight of faith, we win. If you just believe and don't be moved and don't give up. I'll tell you one more testimony and we're going to hit the word, okay? We were in Haiti and we went out to the market filled with people. I mean, you take 1 inch and there's people all around you. So we got a bullhorn. And we got a guy to in their language to say this. Hey! Jesus is here! Everyone who was sick, come! Everybody who was hurting, come! Jesus will heal you! Everyone come! And the people turned and they looked at us. And there was a man there. And he came up and got right in my face. He says, you blanc. They call white people blancs there. That means white person. Every country's got a name for us. In Kenya, they call us Mazungus. You Mazungu. You Mazungu. Mazungu. The little kids go, Mazungu, Mazungu, Mazungu. So this man says to me, he says, you blanc, give me your money. Give me your money. You can't heal nobody. Give me your money. He had this little girl that was with him. He says, you see her? Doctors can't fix her. Medicine can't fix her. No one can fix her. She's dying. Give me your money, blanc. Give me your money. We want to see you heal her. I said, okay.
Okay.
So let me pray. I prayed. I command you sickness and disease, get out of her. And this little girl goes like this. Pain! And the man goes... The man looks at me and he says, blanc, give me your money. You liar, you liar. You can't heal, you liar. Give me your money. I prayed again. I commanded the pain to go and the girl went, He says, it's getting worse. You're a liar. Bring the stones. Let's stone them. Let's kill them. Come, bring the stones. People picking up stones. So now, you know what I did now? I stopped. Now, nobody heard me say this. But on the inside, I said this. Holy Spirit, this would be a good time for some help. Holy Spirit, you are with me. And I believe you're here to glorify Jesus. They want to kill us, Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray again. So I told the man, let us pray one more time. He's got a rock in his hand. So I prayed. I said, I command you, devil, you loose this girl right now in the name of Jesus. Go! And she did this. And I went, oh, thank you, Jesus. Persistent faith is great faith. Persistent faith is great faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I turned to the man and I did this. Sir, give me your money. Give me your money. I said, no, I don't want your money. I said, I just want to hear you confess the name of Jesus. Because Jesus did this. We didn't. Jesus did it. He said, give me the megaphone. He took the megaphone. He said, hey! Jesus is really here in the market. Jesus is really here in the market. Come, come, come. We were there all the rest of the day until dark praying for people. One salvation after another. Persistent faith is great faith. Persistent faith is great faith. Hallelujah. You don't give up. You don't give up. Let your name be recorded in hell. When this one prays, you better leave, devil, because she's not going to stop. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. I'm going to share with you A number of years ago, I was struggling with not seeing as much as I wanted to see happen in the kingdom. And I just felt there was something wrong. And I sat in the presence of God. And I said, okay, Holy Spirit, you're going to have to show me. What is it? What's the issue? And turn to James. James. Come on. Chapter 1. James, chapter 1. Come on. My pages are sticking together. Okay. James 1. Verse 6 and 7 and 8.
Okay. 6, 7, 8.
James 1, 6 through 8.
Chapter 1.
But let him ask in faith. With no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Notice he doesn't say that God is not giving. He's saying that we cannot receive. God has already done everything that we need to have done. But we will have trouble receiving what He has done if He is double-minded. Because the Word says then we become unstable in all our ways. So I said, Holy Spirit, are you saying I'm double-minded? I'm pastoring a church. And the Holy Spirit tells me that I'm double-minded and I'm not able to receive all that He has for me to receive. He's given it all, but I'm struggling with receiving it because I'm double-minded. So I asked Him to explain to me what He means by double-minded. And then He took me on, I don't have time to go through it all, but He took me on a trip through the Scriptures. He said, son, you are divided. As to how I still relate to you. Sometimes you preach and teach according to the old covenant. And sometimes you preach and teach according to the new covenant. And he asked me, which is it?
Okay.
I said, what? Which is it? Did not my new covenant replace the old covenant? Yes, it did. Well, then why do you still teach according to the old covenant? I said, you're gonna have to explain this better to me now, Holy Spirit. And he did. He began to take me through the Scriptures. In the old covenant, let me just explain this really simply, okay? In the old covenant, it talks about repenting, turning from our sins. And the focus is on our sins. Old covenant says that if we will be obedient to these things, then we will be blessed. Ang 1522 times it says, if you will do this, then God says, I will do this.
The
blessings of God were conditional. They were conditional upon my obedience. That's old covenant. So sometimes I'm telling people, you need to do this. You need to be holy. You need to be righteous. You need to act right. You need to pray. You need to fast. You need to do all these things so that God can bless you. That's old covenant. What's the new covenant? Jesus has already blessed us because of his obedience, not because of ours. My God. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. My preaching, my teaching was mixed. I had a mixture in my teaching and my preaching. And it brought confusion amongst the people. And it did not release the power of God. Ephesians chapter 1 says, Ephesians chapter 1 says, verse 3, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, that's past tense, 2,000 years ago, who has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Now, what's a spiritual blessing? Spiritual blessing means it has its origin with God. It's by His grace. It's not by what we do. A spiritual blessing is what God has already done for us. What does that word blessed mean? That's the English word for eulogy. How many of you have been to a funeral? You've been to a memorial service. When someone dies, you go to the service. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. Now, have you ever heard somebody get up to talk about the person and say this? You know, I knew
Charlie.
Oh, he was such a bad guy. He was a pain. Just like, I mean, I hated to be around the guy. He was so bad. Nobody liked
Charlie.
You don't hear that. You only hear good things. A eulogy is only speaking good words. Do you know what this said? 2,000 years ago, God knew you. He knew you. And the Bible says that He spoke all these good things about you. He spoke all these blessings over your life. He declared all these blessings over your life. Before you were ever born, God declared every blessing that could ever be declared over your life. Hey! Yeah, He already did it.
Yes.
So, new covenant is us not trying to work to be obedient, to be good, to get blessed. But the new covenant is understanding that I am already blessed by His grace, by what He did. So now I live for Him, I serve Him, I go for Him because I'm already blessed. Not because I have to get blessed, but I'm already blessed.
Amen.
Hey! Hey! So the Holy Spirit started showing me, preach one or the other, but you cannot preach both. You want to preach the old covenant? You're going to have death everywhere you go. You want to preach the new covenant? You're going to have life everywhere you go. What do you want? I want life. I want life. And I want to bring life to people. Hallelujah. Okay, so look at, let me see if I can find it. Oh yeah, Philemon.
Philemon.
Philemon, Philemon, Philbert, Philemon, it's right after Titus, which is right after Timothy. Timothy, Titus, Philemon. All right, I'm going to read I'm going to read verse 4, 5, and 6.
Okay, basahin ko ang 4.
I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. Now watch what he says. That the sharing or the communication or the release of your faith. Now watch, he's going to tell us how our faith gets released. That the release of your faith may begin to work or become effective. Watch. By the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Your faith becomes active and powerful when you acknowledge the good thing that God did inside of you. So the old covenant is focused on sin. Focused on the things that are wrong with you. Focused on the problems. Focused on what you have to do to get God's favor and God's mercy. That's the focus of the old covenant. It's on your sin and what's wrong with you. You got to repent and turn from your sin. But the focus of the new covenant is on the answer. It's on what Jesus Christ has done. It's on who you are by acknowledging every good thing that God's done within you. I have right now been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. What am I doing? I'm acknowledging the good thing that God has done in me. I have right now been blessed with every spiritual blessing. I am right now walking in the grace, walking in the favor, walking in the glory of God. Not by my efforts, not by my works, not by my striving, but by my believing that God the Father put me inside of Jesus and made me his very own son by what Jesus paid for, not by my works. I have been saved. I have been set free. I have been delivered by the grace of God, not by my works, not by my works, but by what he has done for me, by my believing in that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, watch this. This is you. Okay, this is Jesus. This is Jesus, and this is you. You get born again. You get born again. You become a brand new spirit man. Okay, at that moment, the Holy Spirit takes you and puts you in Christ. Now, the Bible says that God no longer looks at you according to the flesh. But God the Father looks at you according to the spirit man, your spirit man, who is inside of Christ now. Here's a question for you. Does God the Father see Jesus holy? Does he see Jesus holy?
Yes.
How does he see you?
Holy.
Holy. Yeah. Yeah. Does God the Father see Jesus righteous? Does he see Jesus righteous?
Yes.
How does he see you?
Righteous.
Does God the Father see Jesus holy? He sees you holy. Does God the Father see Jesus anointed and powerful? How does he see you? How does he see you? Does God the Father see Jesus with every blessing that he could possibly give?
Huh?
Is Jesus blessed? Does Jesus have all blessing? Does Jesus have all authority? Does he? How about you? Where are you? Where are you? He puts you in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's you didn't get put in Christ by your works. You got put in Christ because you believe. Because you put your faith in Christ. Because you put your faith in Christ. The Holy Ghost puts you in Jesus. Colossians chapter 3 says, Colossians chapter 3. It says that you are hidden in Christ. Where are you?
In Christ.
You're in Christ. Now, as long as you keep your faith in Him, as long as you keep your dependence on Christ, as long as you put your confidence in Him to do everything you need, you stay hidden. And the devil can't find you. Listen, this is a truth that will change your life. You know why the devil finds us? We stick our head out. Oh, look at what I'm doing. Oh, look at my anointing. Look at my anointing. Oh, look at my good works. Oh, look at me. See how powerful I am? Hey, the devil sees it too. Oh, look at me. Look at me. I trust you, Jesus. You have my life, Jesus. I can do everything through you, Jesus. Nothing is impossible for me now, Jesus. As I trust in you, as I abide in you, as I remain in you, as my confidence stays in you, nothing is impossible for me. There's a demon there. Jesus is standing there. When you speak,
yes.
When you speak, when you are hidden in Him, and you speak, who does the devil hear?
Nothing.
Ah. The devil hears the words of Jesus. The devil hears Jesus speaking. When you are hidden in Christ, the demons hear Jesus speaking. You want to be the man? You want to be the man? You're going to get slapped. Not me. Praise God. Praise God. Acknowledge your faith is released. The spiritual realm can see you in faith. The spiritual realm, if you're in doubt or in faith, is seen in the spirit. Demons can look at you. Oh, this one's in faith. Oh, this one's in faith. Oh, this one is in faith. Acknowledge what God has done within you. You see, the Holy Spirit has come to glorify Jesus Christ. Come to glorify the finished work of Jesus. So much of the church focuses on sin and what is wrong. Acknowledges the problems. Let's dig deep into this problem. Let's find out these sins. You're going to do that? Then you're going to stick your head out. You want to talk about the sins? You want to tell your friends, oh, I see all these sins that are wrong with you. You want to do that? This is what's going to happen.
Oh.
But what's new covenant? The Holy Spirit will show you the gold in someone. The Holy Spirit will show you the glory of God in someone. The Holy Spirit will show you Himself and the giftings He's put in someone. The Holy Spirit will show you what Jesus is doing in someone. The Holy Spirit points out what God is doing. This is amazing to me. But look at this. Hebrews chapter 10. Do you know? Almost all the church still believes that it's the Holy Spirit that comes to show us our sins. I'm going to show you that's wrong. I'm going to show you that that's wrong. John chapter 16.
Chapter 16.
Yeah, we're going to go to the Hebrews in a second. John chapter 16. Okay, verse 7. Nevertheless, Jesus speaking, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world. He will convict the world. He will convict the world, who's He talking to, of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Now watch this, verse 9. Of sin, because they do not believe in Me. There's one sin that the Holy Spirit will convict of. The sin of not placing faith in Jesus Christ. Do you know how many sins will keep you out of heaven? Only one. Not placing your faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only sin that will keep you out of heaven. Why? Why? Because of the finished work of Jesus. What did He do? Jesus became what the Bible calls the propitiation. Jesus took all the wrath of God the Father. He took all the anger of God the Father. He took all the punishment, all the pain for all the sin of all mankind for all of time. He took all the sin upon Himself. And the Bible says He put it away. He ended it. He's done. God's not dwelling on our sin anymore. God, are you ready for this? God doesn't even see your sin. Who sees your sin? Demons, devils. Why? Because they want to get you back into old covenant mentality, focused on your sins. But new covenant is focused on relationship and life in Jesus Christ. So watch this. Hebrews chapter 10. This is amazing. He says in verse 2. No, let me start in verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then they not have ceased to be offered. Watch what he says now. He says, for the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, that's old covenant sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. You know what he's saying? He's saying to Christians, how is it that old covenant Israel can make a sacrifice once a year, and for that entire year they don't even think about their sins because they know their sins are covered by the blood? He says, how could it be that the old covenant, a lesser covenant, they don't even think about sins for an entire year because of the blood of bulls and goats? But we have the blood of Jesus Christ. And what we have is Christians all over the world focused on their sins all the time, creating a sin consciousness. Oh, I'm so bad. I'm doing so much wrong. I'm such a sinful person. I must repent. I must repent. I've got to confess and repent. Constantly focused on the sins and the things that are wrong. But what does God want? He wants us now to have a consciousness of His presence. We should not have a consciousness of sins, but a consciousness of His presence. And look at what he says. This is a kicker here. Down in verse, let's go to verse 10. But that we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. It says once for all. One sacrifice. The life, the blood of Jesus Christ. One time. For all people of all time. Do you know what that should do? That should make us jump up. Hallelujah! 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 The price has been paid. He said, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, but after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down at the right hand of God the Father. Why do you sit down? At the end of a day of working, why do you sit down? Your work is done. The work is done. He sat down. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Who's that? That's you. He has perfected you forever. Do you see that? Jesus has perfected you forever. We don't have to go through that garbage anymore. Now watch what he says. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them, Now, are you ready? You need to highlight this in your Bible. It says, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is telling us, I will remember your sins and your lawless deeds no more. So demons come to us and tell us what terrible sinners we are to try to make us think it's the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God cannot empower that because he only brings glory to the work of Christ. How can the Holy Spirit convict you of something he chooses to forget? How is the Holy Spirit going to talk to us now? You're my beloved daughter. You have my favor in your life. My grace is all over you. My grace is sufficient for every need of your life. You don't ever need to worry about anything ever again. I'm holding you. I hold your future in my hands. I've provided for everything for you. There is no lack for you. Just as it is in heaven, that's how it is in your life. That's how the Holy Spirit talks to us. See, there are counterfeit spirits that counterfeit the voice of the Holy Spirit to get our focus on old covenant. But our focus needs to be on new covenant. If you understand, God doesn't remember your sins anymore. Jesus already took the punishment for your sins. So you realize when you do sin, that's not who you are. You are not a sinner saved by grace. You're a son and daughter of the King of Kings. You're no longer a sinner. Your nature is no longer a sinner. You are a spirit man, a spirit woman, who's filled with the authority of Jesus Christ, who's filled with the resurrection life power of Jesus, who's filled with the glory of God. Do you know how the glory of God is going to cover the earth? From you. And from you. And from you. The glory of God is going to cover the earth, coming from you. He's not going to just come down out of the sky. He's going to come out of you. Because that's where he is. The glory of the living God is in you right now. And the devil does not want you to know this truth. He wants you to get caught up in who you're not and the things you do wrong. And you're striving, you're trying to be a better Christian. It's all a lie. God has made you a powerful man of God, a powerful woman of God, in your spirit on the inside. What's happening is your mind is now getting renewed. Your spirit needs to go through your soul. Your soul is like the valve on the end of a high-pressure hose. You have the life of God coming through a very high-pressure hose with a little valve on the end that turns it off or on. As our mind agrees with the truth of the Word of God, the valve opens up. It just happens. It just happens. How many times I wake up in the morning and I realize that something that I was doing that wasn't right is gone. It's gone. I don't even think about it anymore.
And it wasn't because I tried to change myself. It was because I started believing who I really was. And the Spirit of God removes the junk, removes the sickness, removes everything. That's how it works in the kingdom. It's all about what He does, not what we do. We just believe and trust. Amen. Wow. What a powerful gospel. What an awesome gospel. It's so simple. But yet we've got so much religious baggage. I'm watching it get peeled off of you. I'm watching it get peeled off. You know, y'all know what onions are, right? You have onions? Onions.
Yes.
Onions. Onions. Okay, if you take an onion and you put it in your house, you put the onion in your house? Okay, somebody walks in your house, they're not going to know there's an onion there. But if you peel a layer off, you peel another layer off, the aroma of the onion starts to fill the room. And someone walking in your house, ah, you got onion in your house. Ah. Oh, if you peel that right down to the core, the strongest aroma of the onion comes out. Someone walks in your door. Whoa! Listen, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. The more that we declare and believe, the more that we declare and believe what God says about us, the Holy Spirit peels a layer off. And the sweet aroma of Jesus just starts coming out. You know what happens? You get around people. And they'll start, whoa, man. Wow, I really, wow. Would you pray for me? Because they can sense the aroma of Jesus coming from a vessel that the Holy Spirit peeled some layers off of. Because you believe what the Word says about you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay. We're going to pray. Praise God. Is there anybody here this afternoon who was not here this morning? You were not here early this morning. A few people. Okay. All right. Okay, we're going to pray. I've discovered that there are many, many people that you got something going on in your life and you've been prayed for a number of times. And it hasn't moved. And you just come to accept it. Like it's something you have to live with. I don't care what it is. If it's negative, if it's hurtful, if it keeps you from being all that God wants you to be, it didn't come from God. And Jesus already paid for that. So I want to encourage you, okay, if you got something going on and you just don't even think about coming for prayer anymore when there's time for prayer.
Okay.
Because you've gotten prayer so many times and nothing's ever happened. I'm telling you, Jesus, 2,000 years ago, He took care of it for you. Matthew 16, it says, Jesus said, these signs will follow those who believe. Now watch this. He said, in my name,
they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. He did not say this. They will lay hands on the sick and pray. They will lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Do you see what he's saying? He's saying the Spirit of God will get, will have such liberty to flow through you that all you have to do is touch someone. You see, I know something. Every time I put my hands on someone, every time I touch someone, the life of God is flowing. If you believe that, same would happen for you. I walk through crowds like this, just touching people, because I believe that the life of God in me is flowing through me to touch these people. I've had people scream before in crowds. I'll touch them and they go, "Ah! Something just left me!" Demon just flies out of somebody just because you're touching them. See, that's how powerful God in you is. If you believe that, you'll see it happen. If you believe that, you'll begin to see it happen. Amen. Wow, what a kingdom. What a kingdom we live in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we discover more and more of what God has done for us, you're going to begin to see your whole world around you changing. Amen. Got more good stuff for you tomorrow, okay? But right now we're going to pray.